Moni Miller. I'm calling from the department. My name is Sinaga. I'll be facilitating the process of electing the acting chairperson in terms of the 130 of the National Assembly. I'll now call for nominations. Nominations. Mamiami?
I would like to nominate Mr. Makubela as the acting chairperson of the Special Committee for the Research.
Thank you, Madam Nyandri. May I have a second now?
President.
I'm Ketana. Okay. Are there any objections to the nominations of Mr. Makubela as the acting chair? No. Make my own experience. Thank you, members. Ms. Makubela, I will hand over to you.
Let me firstly thank my colleagues for having nominated me for acting or running this meeting today. Shileka did not indicate what occasions this situation. Because she should have indicated that we are in this situation not as a normal situation that used to happen when the chair would have been occupied elsewhere or not feeling well or whatever the circumstances could be. But this time around, it's a situation that has been occasioned by the departure of our chairperson through some deployment to other offices. Now he cannot be here. You must not be looking for some kind of apology other than that. He happened to be deployed as the chief whip of the majority party in parliament. So he cannot be here to fulfill his responsibility as the chairperson of the portfolio committee. All we should do is to be happy ourselves that at least we produced a chief whip. So it does not happen all the time. It may be that it's a once off thing that the portfolio committee environment ever produced a chief whip. So it's something to be happy with. We may not need to take it lightly. I'm just saying we must be conscious of that fact, that it does not happen all the time. Of course, we should have seen it coming, not necessarily as a chief whip, but just that at some point we were perhaps going to lose for better deployment and so on. We should have seen it coming. It shouldn't be a surprise. But of course, we might not have expected that to happen at this point in time. Probably we still needed him. I think we are still jealous of the fact that we needed him here than elsewhere, but perhaps he's saving the nation better where he is than when he is at this level, probably. So let's just wish him well, but we'll have that opportunity to do so during the farewell luncheon that is being organized later in the day between 1 and 2. And all of us, I may indicate at this point that we are welcome to that particular function. The Chief Minister and all your officials, you are really welcome. Colleagues, you are welcome. It has been our tradition lately that we don't necessarily introduce ourselves when we start our meetings, mainly because we believe that by now we know each other. Unless we have got new arrivals, which happens all the time, we may be informed of those. but we believe that if we are serious, all of us by now are family, that we interact almost like that without undermining the fact that we have to cost each other to account and so on, but at the same time, we are social beings. We need to interact in a friendly manner and in a manner that builds each other. Let me indicate that last week we happened to forego that program, particularly because of unforeseen circumstances, which could have caused us to invite the department just for an hour or hour and a half, and that would not have been useful there. So we then felt that instead of causing you to come all the way from wherever you were based to Cape Town, rather we try and ensure that we have a fruitful day today, which is going to be a long day probably. And again, we may want you here on Thursday. We know that the department was not available in the other days last week, so we then felt that we will try and see how we would squeeze our program to take care of all the things that we needed to do in this particular quarter. The other point is we did have the strategic planning session of the portfolio committee. Now, DG and DM, and it's a coincidence, has nothing to do with what is going on there. I'm just saying that this will be something that you need to take into consideration. I'm saying that we did have the strategic planning session as the portfolio committee, in which occasion you did present the strat plan. Perhaps it would be useful to refresh colleagues, but my view is rather than us dwelling so much into that once more, we could take it as presented, but be able to engage you on that if colleagues feel there are certain aspects that still need clarification, and for you to be able to give context to the APP or the annual performance plan, you could give reference to the stress plan. I'm not entirely saying you should not touch on the stress plan. I'm saying it was going to be useful if we were to focus on the annual performance plan rather than redoing the stress plan all over again. I just hope colleagues were at one in that particular understanding, and that will be fine. I do know as well that we did have apologies. I know that the minister is not going to be joining us, probably the DM can still talk to us, but even from our members, we have got Honorable Bonoma, whom we visited together with the chairperson, shall I say, chief whip, 2 weeks back, to just see how he's doing, whether he is recovering well and so on. He still has difficulties. He still has to consult almost daily to receive some injections and so on, or medical treatment. And doctors have not allowed him so far to even fly. So he may not be able to even fly to Cape Town to fulfill any responsibilities, and his condition fluctuates on a daily basis. It may look good today, tomorrow it may be something different, and so on and so on. We are looking at what we could do to perhaps get in touch with somebody else from KZN so that at least if he happens to be well, instead of being expected to come and do work in Cape Town, you could do work around home, because it would be unfair for us to expect him to still serve at a particular level under the circumstances or the condition in which he is. That being our remarks, I could then hand over first and foremost to have Sri Lanka, you have other apologies and thereafter allowing the city minister, Ned Thompson, to just have your overview or whatever remarks you want to give, and you'll then probably hand over to the DG, who will be informed as to how we're going to be running with the program. We'll take it from there. Chair. You know, Sri Lanka is not talking to the mic, and these things are recorded. And it's important for her voice to be heard.
Hello, apologies for it. Thank you.
That being the case, our expectation is that those colleagues who are not with us at this point in time, probably they are still on their way, but we may not be able to wait until then. So we're proceeding with the meeting. We do form a quorum. The city minister, over to you.
That's thanks to what she has said. I think there is an apology from the minister. She is not well. And I think the route you are suggesting that we deal with the annual performance plan, that was also my view when I saw that there's a briefing on the strategic plan, because I'm of the view that that has already been done. So we would only be wasting time. Perhaps we could even bring the time closer, the time of adjournment. You get 17 5 is a long, long time, but it came up. All of us will be happy. But I'm trying to say if we can move it forward, nothing stops us to do so. Thanks.
Perhaps depending on how GM is actually presented, even before we talk to the 17-hour time of adjournment, we could effect some amendment to the agenda, bring forward 2.2, so that by 14 hours, probably we are dealing with some no longer the departmental staff. So, but that depends on how the presentations are made and how we interact with the presentations that we shall have done. So I'm actually saying, if at all possible, colleagues, we will look at concluding with the departmental issues by one, then move for lunch, and then I will come back. At least we'll take the edges. Of course, the plan was to receive all the threat plans of both the department and its entities, as well as the ACTs. And somebody requested a change to the program so that they present today rather than later on, and we'll take all the entities by Thursday. Thanks. Over to you. If you tell me you'll be done, the DG can then proceed. Thanks.
Thank you, Acting Chair, and good morning, honorable members. Thank you for having us. We have also apologized for late arrival. We were late from the airport, and some of our officials are still waiting for the long for the visitor center, including the chairperson of SANDI, Ms. Nana Makumula, which we have not met. So she's apparently here today with the CEO of SANDI. So they will be joining us in due course. The department tabled its strategic plan and the annual performance plan before the 10th of March in terms of the money bills, amendment procedures, and related matters act. And in accordance to the parliamentary program framework, we have been able to adhere to that. And as the chair, acting chair, indicated, we had also appeared before the committee to brief the committee on the strategic plan and the priorities of the department. So I will run fast in just summarizing and just indicating what informs the revised search plan and also allow them, the DDGs, to present in each of the programs in respect of the ATP. Honourable members, again, the Department of Environmental Affairs strategic plan is a reflection, or at least captures the implementation or what we are responsible for in respect of the implementation of the National Development Plan, which is the Vision 2030 for government. In regards to that, there are aspects that reflect the operations and priorities of the work of the department, and therefore it is an implementation plan of the NDP, and we are also, the document or our ACT is also aligned with the sector outcome 10 implementation plan. As you know, in government there is clusters of work that is being coordinated by departments with working with provinces and municipalities in some instances. The NDP then outlines the transition to a society and an economy which is internationally competitive, which would deal with matters of equity and providing a job creation. And those aspects that would be realized in a growing economy, and the NDP indicates a growth of between 3% and 5% would help us deal with the issues of overall job creation and equity. And within that, the third pillar being then sustainability, which is more the responsibility of the work of the sector in terms of reducing carbon emissions and growing the economy in a manner that would allow South Africa to transition to a low carbon growth. Our priorities as captured in the strategic plan cover ecosystems sustainability and natural resources that are used efficiently within the context of sustainable use, because some of the fauna and flora is used by society both in terms of advancing their economic prosperity, but at the same time also for livelihood assets. We seek to then implement an effective climate change mitigation and adaptation response. As again, at the last meeting with the committee, we have presented the outcomes of Paris COP21, which South Africa is also committed to implement. We have prioritized environmental sustainability programs within our action plan or our ATP, and we then hope that we'll be able to again facilitate actions through the work of the department that would lead to a well-managed just transition by other sectors of government. This then would require a coherent and conducive a policy, particularly fiscal and regulatory system, fiscal in respect of funding allocation and financial provisions for the activities of the department. You have, we also indicated last time the budget cuts that we have received in our allocation as a department. However, we have not quite completely downscaled most of some of the work that we are supposed to undertake. So we'll still, when the opportunity arises, look at how at best we revise then our ambitious outcomes and targets. But for now, we table if we would operate with the current staff establishment, bearing in mind that we are expecting directive from Treasury and Public Service, which is going to be saying we must freeze all costs because there are savings that must be realized in that respect. So such a framework, then, that coherent framework,
would then advance the investment in the development of new technologies, green sectors in particular, that would contribute to the further advancement of the green economy that we envisage. We hope that that coherence in that fiscal and regulatory system would also facilitate a consumer and societal behavioral change. Again, the environmental awareness requires quite a lot of activities that lead to stewardship and also taking citizens on board in respect of some of the changes in behavior, like saving water and not using and wasting water. South Africa is a water-stressed country, saving energy, again, especially that our energy is generated from fossil fuels and also using wisely our other natural resources, whether it's plant species and some of the fishery species in our ocean. So we hope that our strategic plan would then be afforded, or at least would get a freshen in an economy-wide implementation, both in leveraging public and private sector investment for that transition that we aspire. Honorable members, we have outlined before what the department's mandate and vision and mission. Again, that has not changed. We still seek to make sure that we ensure with our programs and activities that we protect the environment and conserve the natural resources. And we also hope that we'll be able to influence sustainable development growth in both in terms of how we transition our economy through the implementation of the climate change policy, our equality legislation, as well as the waste management act implementation. The department's vision seeks to achieve a prosperous and equitable society that lives in harmony with its natural resources. Our mission, we think that would achieve our vision by providing leadership in environmental management, conservation and protection towards sustainability for the benefit of all South Africans and the global community. The environment is a global public good. What we do in South Africa has an impact in the region and in Africa, in terms of the continent, and even internationally in some other regions. The department strategy map, again, has outlined the vision and mission, as well as the key departmental outcomes, which are based on three pillars. One, the environmental sectors contribution to economic prosperity, the second one being attaining economic ecological integrity, safeguarding our resources, and then thirdly, the third pillar being then the transformation that would enable the benefits that would facilitate social development, in particular through benefits that accrue to communities and the poor. So I'm not going to take you through that in detail again because that we've done previously, and we hope that we'll still be able to achieve synergies and efficiencies in the manner in which we conduct ourselves in the department, both in terms of our capability in respect of the resourcing of the department, as well as the skills that are aligned to the specific delivery areas that we have prioritized in the strategy. The department's program structure, honorable members, again, we have program one, which is administration, which covers the work of and fund the work of the ministry, and also the Office of the Director General, including the support in respect of corporate services and effective cooperative governance. This is the program that also is responsible for the oversight for the department public entities. Program 2, legal authorizations and compliance. Again, honorable members, here we promote the implementation of the National Environmental Management legislation, a review of that legislation as using instruments like licensing in terms of the EIA system, and also promoting enforcement and compliance. Program 3, oceans and coasts. Again, this is an area where we undertake our activity that relates to coastal conservation efforts, as well as the research, scientific knowledge generation in respect of the ecological systems of the ocean. Program 4, climate change and air quality management, focusing on improving air and atmospheric quality, and leading our transition towards a low carbon growth, and also this is the program that coordinates the reporting in respect of our international climate change response. Biodiversity and Conservation Program 5, before that, Program 4, we also then have a public entity that is South African Weather Service, which is funded out of that program. Program 5 is Biodiversity Conservation, which is a focus area or a program that finances our conservation activities for our fauna and flora, and also the implementation of the World Heritage Act. Our public entities funded food transfers out of this program is the South African National Parks, South African Biodiversity Institute, Isimangaliso Wetland Authority. Then Program 6 is the program that we focus on expanded public works implementation and some of our green economy initiatives, particularly the environmental sector contribution. Program 7, chemicals and waste, is the program wherein we fund our initiatives around chemical management, the multilateral environmental agreements on chemicals, whether we're talking about transport and movement of chemicals in terms of Basel Convention, and also our implementation of the Waste Management Act. In this case, there is also authorizations and licensing for both chemicals as well as our other waste and activities that the industry is responsible for. So I'm going to request honorable members, because I've taken you through the programs in detail the last time, but I would now hand over to the acting COO to pick up on the details in respect of the APP on administration, and then Program 2 and Mr. Isham Abaja, and then the Program 3, Dr. Maneki Shaw, the DPG responsible. Program 4, we will have the presentation made by Ms. Judy Beaumont, Program 5, and Mr. Shonifan Munjezi, and then environmental programs, Dr. Preston, and lastly, 10,000 Waves, which will be Mark Gordon. And Mr. Alf Wills would also then contribute to program 6 in the presentation 1 and 6 in according to the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, BG. Honorable members, I am only going to focus on one area within all the items in administration, which you always have seen interest in. I'll be open for any questions on any of the other items. Just with regard to the percentage vacancy rate, Chair, the DG mentioned in her introductory remarks Our target was obviously 9.5%, but she mentioned in her introductory remarks that we are going to see cuts in the compensation of employees budgets from National Treasury for 2017-18 and 18-19. And for 2017-18, it's 54 million, and for 18-19, it's 78 million. Now, this year, we are not affected, but we have to start implementing decisions we as a department have to take to affect those changes and to be compliant. But there is some good news. At this stage, I looked at our final report. As of 1 April, we had a 6.8% vacancy rate, which is about 150 vacancies in the department. So it's looking extremely well, so we built in a little bit of a buffer. But this will be a challenge to all departments. Then, with regard to our human resource development interventions, we've recruited 104 interns they've just been appointed. They are starting with us. They started on the 1st of April. With regard to the bursary issued, we are fulfilling our duties there. Bursaries are issued now because people are registering already from the beginning of the year, so that works a little bit differently. So there we are already on 73 bursaries. And on the implementation of WSP, the Workplace Skills Plan, we are on 83% as of the end of the financial year. Being, honourable members, with regard to the employment equity targets, specifically with regard to women. Overall, the department is at 56%, whilst the national target is set at 50%. As mentioned previously, the challenge we have is... ...104 for the new financial year. Sorry. Into the civil service. A lot of them leave us during the year because they find other job opportunities because they only receive stipends during the year from us. Colleagues, when we get back, or honourable members, when we get back to the women in the department, as indicated, we had 56%, which is exceeding our target, but the issue comes in at the 50% women in senior management service. There we are only at 43.5%. We've done the calculations, as DJ has indicated previously, even if we fill all our current vacancies on SMS level, we will not be able to reach that target. But I've done some number crunching with regard to how are we looking like at level 11 and 12, which are the feeder levels going into SMS level. And there I see we are on 53%. So it is looking good. We are grooming people. And I think it is a long-term project, but I think we are going to get there rather sooner than later. Then with regard to the other issue that is always of interest with regard to people with disabilities, the 2% target that is set nationally, we as a department, we have 2.8%, just the breakdown of that, which we say entry level into the civil service, levels 2 to 8, 43%, and levels 9 to 12, our middle management level, that's 44.8%, and then on SMS level, we have 8%. So that is just the breakdown of where those people with disabilities are within our structure.
On such issues, it's important to talk the numbers. The percentages are somewhat misleading.
Okay.
Can I just say, honorable members, I think Brian is explaining more and even on progress, just to give you the context of why our target is informed by where we are in respect of the baseline. So in the baseline there, you, for instance, you have 47 of the 1,604 staff companies, which is what makes the 2.8%. And then she can then give the numbers, if all of the members are interested in them, in the numbers, in that, for example.
Thank you, Chair. If you want me to give the breakdown, I can continue the breakdown, or can I hand that to you, Chair?
No, you can. All I was saying is, at times, you see, the position of understand, but when you went to back into it, and you take it in terms of levels, and you then say eight percent, it may not be clear what eight is, you know that. Yeah, think about that quickly when we're following your presentation. If a person is sitting somewhere else, a person can work out that percentage. But here in the meeting, it has to be very difficult.
Chair, I can present that. The entry level, which is level 4 to 8, they are 23 out of the 49. Then middle management, which is 9 to 12, they are 22. And at senior management, they are 4. And then, but they are now the new
when we close the financial year, remember, we are giving an update as of now. When we report officially, we report the quarter. So when you close at the end of the financial year, we're sitting at 2047. So I think just stick to those numbers. Then when we come first quarter, we'll then be able to say by end of this quarter we have had up or even lower in respect of that number. Which is just if we cause some confusion then.
And
Brian,
we have only managed to recruit about 4 fleets.
That's just about 8%. Which is about 2%.
But our contention through each is always that we must push boundaries. We must not be minimized. That's our approach. And it seems that the department continuously is satisfied with that aspect. So our view is always to push the boundaries, increase, even if it's more than 2.8%. And I agree with the DM that 4 is negligible. I can understand. Yes.
Colleagues, perhaps let's allow them to present the first program. We then encourage that program so that otherwise we'll then we'll be all over and the nation, even our friends will be affected. But just allow the presentation to flow, and at the end of the first program, then interact with colleagues may just note. I think now that we cleared the confusion, it was not so much of the confusion. It was just that colleagues were then going to have difficult to ask, because now there's progress, there's what they had, there's what they, you know. So now let's stick to what the documents indicate, so that we try to do that clearly. The responses, if you wish, you can help us in the afternoon.
Thank you very much for that, thank you, Chair. On that, I'm going to close my issues, except if there are any further issues with regard to this program. These are the issues you usually interrogate me on. If you have any other issues, you are free to raise them with me, Chair.
Many administration is one.
Yeah.
then let me allow colleagues then, unless you have additions to this view or somebody, I can then allow members to interact with the issue.
Chair, just to say that the chair of the Assembly Board is joined, Ms. Nana Mufomus. Thank you.
No, thanks, you're welcome. And whoever is accompanying me. Thanks. Okay. Colleagues, let's interact with the program, program one.
I think that the target set for next year on issues related to international resource mobilization environmental management practitioner training, the environmental evidence base and research projects and the information and knowledge management issues related to spatial tools and the international negotiating position. Those targets are relatively clear unless there are some questions of clarity that are required.
Yes, Honourable Marie.
There's just two issues in terms of the vacancy rate, 6.8%, which translates into 130. But we will be interested as well, as usually, in terms of the spread and the catchment, so that we have a clear understanding in terms of the strategic nature of the vacancies, as well as the urgency to fill in the normal recruitment and selection process. That's the first one. The breakdown in terms of the spread and categories. DG, we understand the illustration that you are giving to say 43.5% remain. Even if you fill the entire vacancies, you will not meet the target. Why is this situation? What are the contextual factors that mitigate or that contribute to towards that? And then, okay, the others, they have been responded to. But in terms of the financial value of resources raised from international donors to support SAW, we understand that. Why do we have one investor project fund? How many? On page 8. So that we just have a picture of what is the situation. Fairly well, we are comfortable with the issues. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Thank you,
Chair.
Honorable Chair, my issue is clarity. I don't want to confuse the issues here. I was hoping that you would get the last and final report, the fourth quarter report, which forms the basis of the new targets. And I was hoping that you would look at that and see how they perform, I mean, how the department is performed. I actually they just put it as one document where you look at what was done previously. We never discussed the fourth quarter report. We only discussed the second and the third report on our last meeting that we had in March. So I was hoping that would help the final report, giving us the overall performance of the department according to the program. And then that's why we will see why, like for instance, they've done 2.8% of people with disabilities, but the other target was 2%. And like he also mentioned, the recruitment was 104 instead of 100 recruitments. That's how these new targets are set. So I see more sort of like some barriers to addressing. How do we proceed from here? Are we going to look at what is being presented, or are we going to see if they are doing the fourth quarter, which is the last report of the previous one is here, at the same time looking at the targets to see which will be the way forward? Thank you, Chairperson.
Again,
Honorable
maybe while I'm responding to that, Gigi, if you could also, I'm sure I am at liberty to ask.
I'm being part of the whole thing, but I needed to understand how do we manage not to downscale while operating, you know, on the human society. How do we do it? So that also I don't become useful, so I think we're going to ask you to do the discussion. How do you manage to do that?
The department comes in, and I'm not to respond to my colleagues or my colleagues. But just that our program for now, I think we are so tight that our guys should have invited the department earlier, probably, if we were not doing a tight program in Parliament, to get the fourth quarter in saying, so that when we come to the APP, we have got that logic and reasoning and so on. So it may not be the department's fault necessarily. But what you asking us is how do we do it? So that now, how do we manage the process so that we have clarity to say the projections in the APP are they reasonable or not, you know, so that we don't know. So I'm just saying that's how I understand his question, and I sort of understand the predicament. And let me have my mic as well, so that when you come in, you are able to clarify. On the APP, not the presentation, the actual document, which is not so different from what you presented. You have got, in terms of the issues, when you're talking the vacancy rates and so on, and when you give the breakdown, you then talk blacks, you talk Africans and so on, and without going to numbers, I just want to have an understanding of the department of the difference there. And I'm not saying I don't understand blacks and Africans, but I'm saying so that we are not confused how we're dealing with this matter at that level. Because when you go through the numbers, they do confuse. And I think I'm the only one confused. But first, before I go to that confusion, I'm not being there. People were to clarify black and African so that we... it's okay. I think we'll clarify that. And then, sorry, this is a minor thing, you'll clarify, I know. On page 16, same document, the last issue percentage of attention ability program is on a declining subject. May we be informed just why? Because we can't have progress, the next thing we are told we must be fine with 65% and so on. When we have been at 78, at 83, and 61, then 65. Then, page 19, we're talking the last one, on the strategic objective on improved profile support and 19. Yes, sorry. We're talking a number of publications produced and distributed. But as we talk, all stakeholder publications, but there's no talk about their distribution. Because the central issue is producing and distributing. So that indicates that if we don't necessarily distribute, it's not complete. I know that, for instance, the one upper just for that one. We're coming on 12, 17, 25, 15, and then we're at 8. So it declines or plateauing to some degree. The last but one, on place trains, that has been the case, the number of environmental awareness activities conducted. On 13, 14, and so on. You were at 12 environmental awareness campaign conducted. All of a sudden, we're at 4, and the positions were now at 3, the baseline, or the estimated 15 system was 4. We're now at 3 for 20. What's the cost of that decline, and thinking that I also want to be able to deal with it that way? Let me just have the last one under the last, not the last one, on page 20, the last one, strategic objective. The action plan that was supposed to be implemented, the percentage implementation of the local government support strategy, with only 100% of annual action plan implemented. Whether that is the support strategy, whether the action plan and the support strategy is actually the same thing. So that we know what is it that we need to be dealing with. That's why I can point at that easy and this. Still as possible, but let me wait there and allow other colleagues to raise other resistance.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members, for those questions. My colleagues, Jim Paul and FGCO, and CFO can add. Firstly, just to start with the conceptual factors that Honorable Marino was asking about in respect of the target on people with disabilities. In this plan, we have targets that are legislated. What we do as a department is a bonus. We have really gone beyond the targets that is legislated, because it is understood that it is very difficult to attract people with disabilities in the public service, especially even at some of the different levels of the organization. And I think honorable members, the last time I had indicated that the reason why we're able for the past 5 years, we're not meeting the 2%. And we managed to meet the 2% target because we decided to have a focused plan for a recruitment of people with disabilities. We are not easy, even when we engage some of the organized institutions that are responsible, or at least that are involved in a registration of people with disabilities. In some instances, for instance, if I went, there was a point where I even went and met some of those organizations myself, and the questions that the people that I met, I could interact with, they were raising questions about whether they're not going to lose their grants that they receive, and all of those other factors. And you cannot, in the public service, you are not allowed to travel, because if you get a grant, you cannot then get also the salary. So they that difficult in respect of recruiting people with disabilities, but I think we honestly think we have done significantly well, and hopefully we can maintain and be able to grow that area of achievement. And the DDGs can tell you here, if you were to see their assessment reports, each one of them, without fail, every quarter, when I see that number is going down, I actually penalize. They get a bonus point in terms of assessment. The person in fact, if they demonstrate that
that they need, that they are doing something. So the efforts by the DDGs, I think, honourable members, I have seen them working in one way or the other, and I will still take it upon myself to push further. The next question from Honourable Khadir, I think we're trying to impress you by combining these things. Because, I mean, we don't have a total aligned process between Parliament and government sharing and reporting, unfortunately. So the parliamentary program is such that we tabled on the 10th of March. The end of the quarter figures are not going to be able to be factored in, which is why we honestly disclose in the documents, we disclose that we give you our baseline information based on the progress report of the end of December, which is the third quarter. So I don't think there is a disjuncture there in a sense, because you will not have a perfect situation even the next time around. And if you have three people more, four people more, we're looking at more what is more average and what is more achievable with the resources that we have. And therefore we have to bear in mind that there's natural attrition and other factors, but we're saying that certainly we will then meet a target of 100 in respect of what is that, the intent that we'll put. So our intent, even when I sign off, is supposed to be 100. If one branch decides that they have a spare resources with a kind of a quality of people that were that responded, they can then say we request one additional intent and so on. So we allow that flexibility in the organization. And then the second part, my honourable Mr. GM, how, I think the question is, how do we manage to achieve even with limited resources? And I think there is great innovation with teams that work in the department. If one of the members were to visit, I have people that work, if they work, they do the work of 3 people and 5 people. We've been struggling with work-life balance in senior management. And I've had, people can speak, Judy, myself, if I give you the example, because people are pushing themselves to do what is required. This is where the sector is different from any other sector. We think that we are people that are driven, and even now we think we're overly ambitious in most of what we require and do. And we are, the mediocrity is creeping in a little bit because of how we penalize people, even in terms of our performance management. So everybody now is worried about how do I get the score of 4, because it's such a difficult, becoming such a difficult thing. Most people in the department get 3. And if we say 3, if we talk about our performance management system in scoring, you've done what you have employed for. And therefore we're not going to incentivize you further. So it's that combination of sectors, and I think GM, we would be happy if you and the minister can lower the push a little bit, because the demands are far than the resources that we have, both financial resources and human resources, if you compare us with similar science organizations in the public sector. And then the honourable chair that you raised around targets, questions on publication and distribution, I think you make it's correct, but our distribution, because the evidence, what informs our targets also is what we know the auditor general is going to look for. Our evidence for distribution is when we have published, that is the evidence. Of course, the element of going out and making sure that our publications don't stay in our premises and so on, if it is published, they need to know it's available for public. And therefore, we also put them in our various points, like the work in certain towns in the organization, and some of the offices and ministers take them to provincial offices in other cases. So that is what we use as a measure. Because if I am now going to say I will distribute to all the 10 or 100 villages of South Africa, I know I don't have the resources to do that. And the Auditor General is going to require evidence for us to demonstrate that. So on quality, I think the question is very much on how we then evaluate our impact, and we have a different process and system to do that, but the ACP is not quite adequate to focus on how we measure the outcomes, and I would accept that shortcoming. Similarly, on stakeholder, the available, the on environmental awareness numbers, we used honorable members to have an entity that was called Indaloyetu. So the reason why we phased out Indaloyetu, which was focusing on environmental awareness, now we don't have a dedicated machinery, that's why the numbers they have dropped, and therefore the resources that we put to environmental awareness are also consistent with what we've outlined as our target. And lastly, I think on the CFO, you have to come in on the other one, I can't remember now. Then the strategy in respect of local government support. We undertook a process of developing a strategy, working with the SALGA, Cities Network, the provinces, as well as COPTA, and therefore outlined what are the elements and the kinds of key pillars that the department should focus on. And as a result of that, they have an action plan that details how our interventions would advance the strategy. So when you measure us, that is an approved document. It's a strategy, it's an action plan, which we can make available to honorable members. And therefore, it is more about the deliverables that are reflected in the department's action plan in respect of that local government support strategy. Okay, you can talk to it in port then. All right, after we...
Thank you, Gigi, and thank you, Chair. I think I'm responding to the issue around the change in target on expenditure on BEE, affirmative procurement. There was a change in terms of the Treasury regulations, in terms of the requirements that the company needed to meet to be recognized as BEE organizations. And that then had an impact. Some of the previously companies that we recognized as EEE didn't meet the new requirements, and therefore we had to adjust our targets to be in line with that. So while we were able to meet 83% and in line with the new requirements, then our target reduced, and our baseline even for this year indicated that we're not able to meet 65%. So that was informed the target number.
Then, Chair, with regard to your question on page 6, which you raised with regard to rates and the levels there, that is also a legal requirement, reporting requirement from DPME. Africans, colored, and Indians, if you add those totals, they form the category blacks. So if you add the totals, so 4, 6, 7, and 25, you'll get to 696. And then white the last category. So that is a legislative requirement for us in our reporting to indicate how we are doing. We are busy with the number crunching on the Honourable Mabilo with regard to the 130 posts. My spreadsheet unfortunately just has all of them listed. We'll be finished in the next 5-10 minutes, and then I'll be able to report with regard to which levels they are.
Chair. Honourable Chair.
May I ask you one of the last questions? Honourable Adeva and then Honourable Mali.
Thank you very much, Chair President. I appreciate the response from the DG. That's why I wanted to ask this question, so that I don't do exactly what you did, Chair President.
and now budgets just given the queue, so we follow suit. Looking at page 8 of the presentation that you have given, your baseline according to President's implementation of risk assessments recommendation, your baseline is 1%, but your target now, your change is 100%. How are you going to achieve 100%? Whereas in the previous financial year, only achieved 61%. What is it that you are going to do to get this time around? I'll just put the question for now.
No, no, thanks. Due respect, the DD has not responded to the question that I put. With regard to the disability, I didn't ask a question, I did comment. My question was about the 43% of senior management for women. And in your report or articulation, you have mentioned the fact that even if you fail completely, you will not meet the target. So that was the question that I posed. What are the contextual factors that contribute towards that? I know I'm passionate about disability. Always the DG will think I'm posing. Yeah. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
At the level that the student, the SMS, will now compatible, you know, that will not push it. It's at 12% or much earlier than that. Just the last one, DG, on the 20. On the number of seeker sector fish plans with environmental focus, they've been coming from 3, 12, and so on. Now it's 3. And there are no future projections. Is it because we shall have done with that, or what is it that now, or because of the finances, you now just decide on your own but with other countries? Or,
I'm actually trying to remember now. One, I think Honorable Mabilo, on the issue of SMS, I had given the context also when we were reporting that the Department of Environmental Affairs is a sector that was predominantly dominated one, and we've had to put in place over time plans to then facilitate transformation. We've been able to reach and achieve the target for the public service around black in the organization and also women overall. But at SNS level, we depend on the number of posts that are available, which is why when the FTCO was saying we have these many posts that are vacant, even those vacant, even if we put all of them women, you will not meet a target of 50% at SNS. And now, worst of all, because we're still going to catch the post because of the current financial situation. So it is completely impossible, unless I make all the other men that are in SMS to resign in order for me to be able to meet that. So realistically, it is not achievable. And we are transparent about it. And our plan that is accepted by the GSA, which is our PE plan in terms of employment equity, outlined that very clearly. So it is just a real practical situation. But with middle management, if you have more women, and we were even looking with the DDGs last week at our meeting, we're looking at what is happening at middle management level. Even that transformation at middle management level, there are real prospects. Then, with internal promotions, of course, in the public service, you also know that we still have to advertise the push. We still have to be fair in that process. Where a man, five of them are more competent, you need to really motivate. And these are the things, areas where we have also some of the audit queries. So it is not an easy sum game, unfortunately. So we will work on it over time, as suggested. And then the other matter around what I see as a stress target. All of the members, I always, I also do not like 100% as a target. But in respect of the security risk, there's too much at stake, not for us to be ambitious to meet that 100%. It's like saying, for integrity, if we were to measure integrity, maybe I need 80%. So in this case, these are areas where you have to try and stretch to that 100%. But then the objective factors will then determine how you then perform, and we would report as such. And when we say so many of the assessment recommendations that we see, we'll try and implement all of them as far as possible. And then the last one was, which one? I've noted those two. What is the other question from the sector skills? In the sector, is the CTAG, I think, just come in there? I can't remember fully, but what I recall, honorable members, is that the teachers, there is no environmental sector. Most of our of the work of the sector is done to the chemical sector, agricultural sector, local government sector, and so on. So what our intention was, because they prepare their plans at every 5 years. So we first had to achieve at best influence in inputting all of those critical ones which are relevant to our sector. And we've done that very well, and we've reported in the past that we've achieved those. Now what is remaining is that tree. Now in future, if by next year there are new sector skills plans, and which are not sufficient, because we still have to do the evaluation and maybe the assessment in that regard. So that's what informs that target.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. That was my point. Why we really, I don't know how we can do it in order to be able to hold the department to account on the hot quarter performance. Because now we are treating with the previous target of 2%. BG is quite correct when you say you can't compromise when it comes to risk assessment and the recommendations implementation. These are the issues that we need to be ensuring that we hold the department to account. Now we've lost a golden opportunity to hold the department to account on the fifth of the fulfillment of the previous financial year. And now we are sitting with the targets where they want to comply 100%, whereas they only were and are able to, to comply 100% in the previous financial year. I think the next chairperson and the work of the committee, we need to find ways how we to look at the last quarter of the financial aid report department. Thank you very much, sir. That was the committee.
Yeah.
Chair, just to answer Honourable Mabiba with regard to the categories, colleagues, our latest stats are on 119 vacancies. 11 have received appointment letters, so 130 is down to 119. Out of the 119, 56 are on entry levels, that's up until level 8. 53 is at middle management level, that's level 9, level 12, and 10 at senior management level, matching up 119.
I just want to ask you know, the issue of the things raised in my UDG. The issue of not having actually contract entity that they want to mention that takes care of the environmental awareness. This actually also quite helps after the department because we then have to take some of these resources, put them in issue of rehabilitation, for instance, you know, attending to issues of decertification, which could have been avoided had the awareness been taken care of. So it's kind of a tricky one, but it's something that is beyond our control. Thanks.
Just critical, we'll see what happens to many to
continue to deal with that. A colleague shall want us to step off this
problem. Yes, yes.
Because our second
very
long process. Mm-hmm. Then the fact that we may want to be involved in every program. A fair distribution of time or allocation of time to engage with the other issues. Let's move to program two.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Chair. In terms of our strategic objective, we're looking at improved compliance with environmental legislation. The first one, we're talking to percentage of administrative enforcement actions resulting in compliance. I've got it 70% there. The next one, it shouldn't be not applicable. You'll see in the APP document in front of you, there's actually 180 as the baseline there, and the target between 16.7 to 220. Then in terms of the number of criminal cases, we're targeting 3 for 2016 and 17. And then also the number of environmental organizations inspected for compliance, 145 there. The number of joint compliance and enforcement actions, we're looking at 22 that we're targeting for 2016, 17. And also the number of officials that have been trained. There we're looking at a target of 300. In terms of the number of interventions implemented in support of the integrated strategy management of rhino populations, you'll see that there's one intervention that's targeted, and that intervention talks to the review of the integrated rhino management strategy. So in essence, it combines the baseline, which is all four strategic initiatives in relation to rhino. I don't think you want me to explain the discrepancies now, or where the members will ask questions afterwards. Let's move on to the next slide. In terms of our coherent aligned multi-sector regulatory system and decision support, we're looking at three interventions of 2016-17. We're looking at the dangerous goods standards that we want to present for implementation, and then also the minimum environmental requirements for the preparation of spatial development framework for incorporation into the SPLUMA. And then we're looking at also a strategic assessment for your strategic infrastructure project 10, which looks at your renewable energy or your electricity grid infrastructure for 2016-17. Then also the number of environmental sustainability policies reviewed. And there the target is to look at the Environmental Sustainable Policy Action Plan and have that approved. Thank you, Chair.
Any
thanks very much, Chairperson. I would like to get some clarity on the number of interventions in that context. The strategy that we currently have, including this ongoing rhino poaching that is happening in the country, is relevant. I'm really would like to know what is really happening there. Because not a week goes by without hearing the mention of the rhino that is involved. Please tell me, the interventions working? Because I hear even the public is talking out lots of money, putting lots of money into these strategies. We seem to know what we're doing. Can we get what are the discrepancies in this area?
Any other man? Some questions that I won't always take you to the ones that you are presenting. I'll take you to something else.
Also,
that are not
The last one is the number of interventions. It was 5-4 interventions and so on. Now it's 1-1 intervention annual. But again, it's like for 2016-17, it's like all we're going to be doing there is just the approval of the strategy. It's about the year will be all about in this particular area of work. Yes, 2021 in the main. But health is how it's happened, but I'm saying it cannot be that the whole year is about approval of the strategy. Well, the first day, first April, it's approved. So what? We can rush it home. But find the other one on page 34. The number of environmental sustainability policies reviewed. In 2016-17, it was like more about developing and approval of the action plan. And I think too much of time to do those things. Again, it may mean that the entire year here, it will just be the approval implementation starting 17-18. Why is that?
Okay, thank you, Chair. Chair, for these are overlapping functions in terms of the branch that I run and some of the other branches. So I'm going to attempt to respond to some of the issues, but I'm going to ask DDG Shoni and DDG Alf to assist in this respect with some of the responses. Chair, the one intervention in relation to the strategy on rhinoceros. As I mentioned when I was presenting, I said we're going to be looking at reviewing the strategy that has already been approved. So there is one strategy, we're going to look at the strategy and review that particular strategy. The strategy is made up of various interventions. Those interventions in the main, I'll just go through them in terms of like the big headings. First of all, there's the compulsory interventions. That relates to the security issues around anti-poaching, those kind of things. Then we have also our national and international collaboration and cooperation. Then we have how we manage the rhino populations in terms of the biological issues, etc. Then also there's also our long-term sustainability measures. But each of those strategic interventions has subheadings, and that work continues throughout. So when you say, why do we only have one target in terms of the review of the strategy, the other work under those subheadings continues. So for example, if we take compulsory interventions, if we don't send the guys out into the field to protect the rhino, Honorable Member, our numbers would be a lot higher than they currently are. So those interventions and the strategic interventions that have been identified and approved by Cabinet, those continue irrespective. What we're doing for the next financial year is to look at or to review the overall strategy. That's why we list it as one intervention. But we'll be looking at each of those surveys to say, for example, under our national and international collaboration, what's working, what's not working, are we actually achieving the objectives in terms of reducing numbers, are we getting to our demand states, are they reducing demand. So under each of those subheadings, there's definite work that will continue to be done. So strategy is going to be reviewed, but the work that is existing and continuing, that has to continue, otherwise we'll have a very untenable situation in relation to rhino populations. So I think you said that answers your question in with regard to the one intervention. So it's actually not one intervention. The one intervention is the review, but the sub-interventions continue in relation to managing rhino populations. Then, Honourable Member, In terms of whether it's working or not, and I've been asked this question on numerous occasions in this particular committee, and there's a few things that need to happen as well in relation to my answering that question. The one is that, and obviously it's not I can't give it as a definitive, but if you look at the previous statistics that the minister presented in the last quarter, we're very thankful that the numbers have gone down, albeit a little bit, but they have gone down. So the thing is that if we don't continue with these interventions that we continue, that we have in terms of the strategic interventions, we think that those numbers would be a lot higher. And it has reduced, I think the minister has requested that we provide for another briefing shortly, I think it's next week or something, where the new statistic will be presented, and let's hope that those statistics will go down as well. So I'm not sure if Shoni wants to add, and in terms of the policies review, Alice, if you can just respond, thank you.
Yeah.
Sam, I thought you would also mention the impact of the involvement of the department as well.
Mm-hmm.
Your community and so forth. Because that's very important.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. In fact, that interaction is ongoing, and I mean, in terms of that involvement, I think one major development, and thank you for reminding me, Ian, is that the South African Police Service has actually developed a strategy, an anti-poaching wildlife trafficking strategy, at least, which they're going to be implementing in the South African Police Service. So I think that's a very crucial point. I'm sorry I didn't mention it in relation to the intervention. But I was looking at it in the context of what we as a department are doing. All these things are interrelated. And I think that's a very, very important point that the Deputy Minister raised, is that that policy has been developed. I think it's in the process of being approved by the SAPS, but that will essentially make sure that the entity that's supposed to be leading the criminal aspect of it will in fact be taking a leadership role there. And obviously all the supporting departments will support that strategy once it's implemented.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. Not much to add, but I think I wanted to emphasize the point that he has raised in the sense that if we look at the beginning of the strategy that you're referring to, that means to the review, the context at that time, even the police and the army, the intelligence services, they were not as involved as they are now. I think the strategy that he's referring to on wildlife trafficking, the draft one that they are working on, will also elevate and formally take this rhino poaching as a priority crime, which then in terms of schedules, at least we will have something that with the strategy will be able to back that case. And that is a significant breakthrough that we also need to look at. I'm informed that cabinet meeting tomorrow probably will also be looking at the report from the Committee of Inquiry, with recommendations as well that will also talk to how we move forward to strengthen intervention in this particular space. And I think maybe after that we'll be able to also talk to what cabinet we have approved or what cabinet would direct us in terms of dealing with this particular issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just in the sense of your question related to page 34 in terms of the Environmental Sustainability Policy Action Plan, I think we must just look at that page going backwards in time. If you recall, in 2011, we had the National Sustainable Development Strategy, NSSD. And we had the climate change response policy in 2011, which began to be implemented in 2012. If you also recall that at that point in time, we had the National Sustainable Development Strategy, climate change response policy, the Green Economy Strategy, the Green Economy Accord,
the environmental sustainable development research development and evidence framework and the sustainable consumption and production strategy. These are all provided inputs to the NDP in the formulation of the NDP, which was published in 2012. So 2013, you'll see, was in essence 2013 and 2014, was the review of all of those policies in the context of what the National Development Plan actually targeted, and the development of a conceptual approach. At this draft environmental sustainable policy action plan stage is the conversion of all of that policy into action plan. It's similar to the IPAC. It's the environment sector IPAC. That's in essence what we're aiming for. And here we are thinking in terms of the DG's context a bit earlier about working smarter and doing more with less. We're talking about amalgamating this action plan, the development and consultation and implementation, along with the work that we're doing on researching new and emerging issues and making sure that that in sustainability or environment action plan is actually a living document that is responding. So you quite out here that in terms of the framing, it looks like we're only just approving. It's not only about approving. It's about an ongoing implementation. It's the conversion of existing policy frameworks into action and guiding multi-sectoral implementation. The big challenge that we face as a department when we deal with the issue of sustainable development is that the environment sector is only but one of multiple sectors in the economy and society that where the imperative of Section 24 of the Constitution for sustainability applies. So it's about not only making the environment sector contribute to the just transition to a sustainable economy and society, but also other sectors, to lead other sectors like energy, transport, agriculture, and so on, that have major impacts, mineral resources, on society's environmental health and public health. Thank you.
Chair, just to add on the response to that question that relates to the number of interventions implemented in respect of the management of violence on page 32. I think that target is we will have to reframe it, that integrated strategy approved. In this year, the real focus is on the implementation of the Committee of Inquiry report, which the Minister and the Minister will be presenting when they also update the nation around the statistics and understand within a week or so, or within a period of 10 days. And therefore, there are clear actions which we are already taking into the process of the biodiversity economy parties, where we have focused around certain activities that we have to make sure are in place, even as we prepare for society. So we would come back with a refinement in respect of the targets for 2015. It definitely is not a strategy. Well, the strategy is already approved, the review of the strategy is also aligned with the emerging information that came out of the Committee of the Inquiry Report. Thank you.
Yes,
I think,
I'm sure you'll come here. I think we'll go, the way it is implemented, if you come back next time to say you have approved it, the committee is expected to attend. Because you talked about approval. So you can't say that in doing other things you can run away with money. Because legally it says a question plan approved. So this that you actually explained
accept your words, but we may not hold you under your word at some point. It may need to be something that we have actually provided for in the documentation. And the document is the action plan approved on this paper. So, on the other or on the change. But I'm just saying on the broader one. Yes, the broader one. Yes, the number of environmental associations is supposed to resume. Already in 2017, talk about action plan approved. So the question was whether the entire year we just approving the action plan. But the explanation may be clear. What I'm saying is, if you were to come back and say we're approved, because if the committee must have said that the entire year was about approval, implementation would be with another financial year.
Which they are project target.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why I would say on this one, we just have to then outline some of the details around the action plan. This is why I'm saying they are not approved. But here we have to put on the but when it is approved, the evidence that the auditor has is something that we can summarize with.
So if what you summarize and what you that which you will be able to provide as a collective for the whole year, that's more or less what you try to do in the annual target. But I think we can think about a reformulation if necessary. Thanks.
My point is, I think some specific self-development, whatever policy or strategy, in some instances talk about peace development and approval. In some instances we talk about approval and implementation. So when you say only development, it is just about that. We want to understand what will be going in the past, and it spends the whole year. If it's talking approval, then we understand the need to be of that. But if you then say implementation as well, we are able to hold you accountable both on whether that document was developed, approved, implemented. If you say approved, then it's as if one goes to the authority, the minister or whatever cabinet was, and it's approved, then it's fine for the entire year. Now we must then go deeper to understand after approval, what did you do? And say, listen, if you come back to see that has been approved. If somebody has not seen the quarterly change, we won't be able to pin you down. Because in terms of what is here on the page, it says it was near approval. There may be no such consistency and so on. It's fine. But I think the explanation is given by us was understandable. It's only that I'm saying to talk approval. That's your call to approval and implementation.
I think we can develop, we can find it, but one more remember, development can take a year, depending on what you have to develop. That's why on the milestones, you think, what can be able. So at times, one has development and implementation, or development and approval in the same year. So that's why we have the differences, depending on what we are talking about. So we understand that for the question.
You wanted to raise something?
I just wanted to make a comment to say that it has been known that out of all the provinces, the Northern Cape has been very stable in terms of rival poaching. It has not been adversely affected. But in a state of a week, with a situation where two rhinos were poaching here. So it really talks to that thing of the rapture to say that these guys are squeezed elsewhere. So then it ran to the province. So it's just a comment that I wanted to make, to say we're concerned now if our province DM is also now affected, whereas we have been very safe. So we must not lose the target there. Thanks, then. That's all. Yeah.
Of course, on this point, we might not have focused also on the worst company other
entities.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, province, in terms of authorization.
Yeah.
Enforcement, your local government, and so on. So, if you remember that
I see you talking about the authorization respect for compliance and over, and we know that you may not be doing all that by yourself.
Yeah.
Authorization and so on. But I'm just saying, it may be a broader issue that we're starting to clarify during the quarterly reports and so on. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I really welcome the news from the department that there is a sort of draft document or from the South of the police, which is going to be tabled on the cabinet meeting tomorrow, which to me they are treating this issue as an aided issue now. Not that they were not treating it as an aided, but there is this agency now. And I'm an agent of the department, I'm a lawyer in the department to be a champion of this issue. It's of course, everywhere we go in members of the Protocol of Community of Environmental Affairs, they just say to us, you are asking you guys, you are just sitting on your hands, you are doing nothing. First, our heritage is being robbed on the property. Now, what are you doing? You see, so there is that way out there that we are doing nothing as the members of the people. Whereas, no, when you sit in these meetings, you always give a presentation of the job that you are doing on the ground. It's not that we are being difficult when we ask questions. Your statistics are not okay. It's not that really we are not doing anything. We know that you are doing, but we are asking the questions that are being asked from us out there. So it's not like this only. We are asking you when you ask questions.
Yes. So we move to program 3.
Thank you, Chair. The first aspect look at what is called National Coastal Management Program interventions implemented, and the targets for 16-17 are a draft assessment report as well as a national guideline for coastal management lines. Second one is ocean and coastal management strategies and plans developed and implemented. The target here is development of water quality guidelines for 3 end user categories, which is natural, environment, aquaculture, and industrial use. Secondly, we would like to complete phase 2 of the strategy, and we also like to develop a national framework. Sorry, we would like to get approval for a national framework on spatial lands. Then the next one is marine top predator population estimates and ecological data is undertaken and the target of population estimates for 10 mainland seabirds plus 1 Antarctic seabird. The next one is marine top... I'll have to check in.
Okay, thanks,
DG. Then we would also like to look at marine top predator population estimates, and the target here is 100% of seal top counts completed, and 1 top predator ecological study, and that is a turtle. And another one is ocean and coast research, survey and monitoring projects undertaken. Here we will target plankton annual monitoring plan and then marine protected area effectiveness research. Then we've got ocean and coast research, survey and monitoring projects undertaken. We would like to do 2 surveys of priority habitats. And secondly, we would like to deploy 3 moorings or observation platforms between our country and Brazil, in other words in the Atlantic, and would like to deploy 2 observation platforms in Southeast Coast Indian Ocean. Okay. The next one is ocean and coastal research survey and monitoring project undertaken. Here we would like to do a South African implementation plan for undertaking of the International Indian Ocean Expedition, which is going to happen between 2016 and 2020. And then we would like to also, we've targeted the National Pollution Laboratory report on the state of water quality on an identified site in the Eastern Cape. And as far as peer review scientific publications, we target, okay, we would like to do 20 peer review scientific publications. I know the committee is going to ask about the difference in the numbers of those publications. The reason is our two most senior scientists are have just retired, and we cannot, it will be difficult for us to maintain a publication rate like we had 26 scientific publications. We did discuss it when we were in the committee last time that it is sometimes much easier for the senior scientists to publish because they've got all sorts of networks. And now we are transforming the organization, we've got younger scientists and they do not have as many networks as the older ones have. That's the reason for that difference. Plus, the main vessel we use is now 42 years old and it spends more time in repairs than in parts. And that also has an impact on our publication. Then, the number of relief voyages to remote stations, Antarctica and Marion Islands, and we will continue to do the three relief voyages. DG, I don't know whether I should mention what we plan to do in Port Elizabeth. When the committee at a meeting said they wanted to see some practical things on the work we do. What we are planning, Chair, is that when the vessel comes back from Marion on the 12th of May, that the vessel stops in Port Elizabeth. And we would have an open day for learners on the 18th and an open day for the public on the 14th. Minister will invite the committee to attend the open day on the 14th, and if the members are willing to then get onto the vessel and sail with us from Port Elizabeth to Cape Town. We should be here in the morning of the 16th, and during the voyage, then we would present our work to the committee.
And so,
no, sir. It's a new one. It's a 2-year-old one. Thank
you.
We seem to be done with that program. Unless if there are additions from the department, but shall I allow members to interact with the program? Honorable.
Thank you, sir. Just one question to the department. I remember previously they told us that they are applying to extend our exclusive economic role. I would like to get an update on that.
Honorable Keitana, Edward first, Honorable Keitana, Honorable Yam, and then Honorable Mugi. Edward, you're fine. Okay.
No, I don't talk now about this, you know, this is scientific that I retired.
My again.
I just want to know because they said two senior scientific members have resigned because of the age, but the junior ones they don't have more skills. Did they not transfer the skills to the junior so that they can have the research, more research?
Just one question, sir. At what stage is the doctor coming to brief us on the developments around Antarctica? I know there were some dynamics that we were brief upon at what stage I'm going to be given the latest development. Yes.
Okay. And I did not go to the quarterly details on the main document.
It's
the performance indicator talks about interventions implemented in terms of the entire year, even the identifying that implementation. It's about development, it's about approval, 17, 18. Does it mean that we may not implement it as much as that is our intention? I think as you go to the other one where there were no baselines, because of the compilation, on the ocean and coastal management strategies and plans developed and implemented. Again, it's about approval, it's about condition, the plans as opposed to the implementation. But that was, for me, implementation would mean that we have now compiled or developed approved and start working on it. So that is the need for a dual, whatever we can do with China. The last one. That's last part, around 39, age 39. We're talking about 15-15, the baseline for estimation was the one study of a new strategy, and now it's a new strategy. And monitoring of all those of the studies, it's not clear how many we wanted to do, but now I'm seeing the three. How many overall were we supposed to do? And I'm clear. Is it three out of how many? Because the three cannot be just the same three that are different. In 2018-19, there may be nine, or plus one, it will be 10. Out of how many between 10 and 10, some difficulty. The last on the thick of environment report on oceans and coast carbon is for one. It's about the, I think, compliance there is just about compliance, but it doesn't seem like that was, it's going to be submitted somewhere. In the financial year, not even in the next financial year, and so on. Then the very last, Mr. Mike, that's on the plans about the old vessel. So it does not stay off duty and being repaired simply because it's old and we're keeping. Are there any plans? Or it's like the new one that is going to be on the voyage for some time. It's not used for the same purpose. Now, this was a particular challenge. And I know that the financial constraints may be that there's no plan in the near future to handle that. But you yourself ask from where you're sitting or in your own space, what is it that is going to be happening in France? Because to me, you raised it years ago to be concerned. So it can't just be raised and we seem to be helpless. That's what we want to do with that situation. Thanks. This year and forever is to answer.
I will start and hopefully you will help each of this some of the questions. As far as the EEZ is concerned, there was a query by the United Nations as to the information that they wanted more information. And that has resulted in us actually modifying the coming survey, the coming voyage to Marion Island so that we provide more information as was required. So it has not yet been approved, but I can vouch for 60% of it. They're happy with the information, but it's a little the area around what St. John's further down, that's what they need information on that area. But the rest, they are positive. We get positive information. So it will not happen, if the approval will not happen before we provide that information when the vessel comes back in May. Then about the skills, Chair, I'm quite confident that the scientists that have left have imparted skills on some of the more junior, younger staff. One of the most impressive young person, Dr. McCard, for an example, has been mentored by the retired Dr. Crawford, and we satisfy that has happened. So they have, but they could not run as fast as their mentors. Yes. Then the issue of the Antarctica strategy. Honorable Madilo, we're happy to share what we have on that, even on that voyage, if of course committee agrees to join us from Elizabeth. We finished the economic study, which was done by Professor Hoskin. He has produced a report. We're very happy to share that with you. What is going to happen during the course of this year, Chair, is we are going to engage a service provider who has to interview many departments and stakeholders. If you look at Antarctica work, GERCO is involved, the rest of the Department of Environment is involved, so is the Defense, the SANDF, so is Science and Technology. We now need to talk to all those people and arrive at a common strategy for South Africa for the Antarctica. So that's what is going to happen during the course of the year. Consultation of various stakeholders and also consultation, I may add, of the other 11 countries that leave from South Africa when they go to Antarctica, because they also have an interest, and we would like to be able to service them better, actually. Then there was the question about the surveys. Chair, the South African EEZ, or Economic Exclusion Zone, is largely unknown and has not been explored. And what we're doing in the department is to each year select areas of environmental that are important environmental. In many cases, those will be our marine protected areas. And we then seek to get a better understanding of those. That's what we call the priority habitat, priority in terms of environmental importance. Then there was a question on the report card. What we've been doing in the past is to report on what we have done on an annual basis. But what we want to move and do, perhaps Clark can join in here, is to produce a full report every 5 years, which would be published in the Environmental Outlook document of the department. So each year we have a report card, which is a few things that we've done that year, but this feeds into a trend as we go 5 years out. So that's the changing. As far as the vessel is concerned, Chair, I can only ask the committee and DG to assist, motivate with Treasury in order to get a new vessel, but perhaps a cooperation between ourselves, mineral resources, and DAP and agriculture and fisheries is the way we're looking at it, because we're looking at perhaps a similar vessel, or a vessel that can send all those things. But other than that, it's the DG can.
Okay, thanks, honourable members. Just to add on the financial response.
On the information was that by 2018, the green society and the society of that society of the currently, what is the challenge?
No, but I think for now we'll have to check the baseline of what is our marine protected area coverage.
Okay.
The current
that process already is underway. The minister is already consulting the key ministries following that opportune participant discussion on which are the areas both inshore and offshore that must be included in the protection of our coastal and our ocean environment. I think the DM, they had a long discussion on what must give way and what can be successful in regard to that. And that has already been published for public comment. So those areas, in terms of that aspect, we are still going through that process and we're going to cabinet and therefore finalize the process of publishing. And if I may, just on the other question on I mean the National Coastal Management, where we should know the time and so on. If I were to we're talking there about draft norms and standards and for coastal management what we call SEDEC lines. Okay. In the past, remember, honourable members, that the Integrated Coastal Management Act is new, it's a new legislation. So we did not have that baseline. That's why when we presented an update of some of the provisions that needed to come into effect during this beginning of this new parliament, we were then facilitating the process where even the president could then make those provisions, other provisions to come into effect. So this is the reason why we don't have a baseline. It's the best of those nations standards that we will develop for quota management. And then,
it's
the finalization. The first one is the National Guideline for Coastal Management Lines finalized. The second one is around the after the situational analysis that was undertaken, and we then have an assessment report on coastal development. That's what we're doing in this year, and that still involves an agency table. That's why we don't have more particularly in that regard. And therefore we have a final report, assessment report, after following through those processes in this year. And then the National Decision Support Tool for Coastal Rehabilitation Administration would then be the kind of framework that we use to make sure that we maintain and integrity of the coastal as well. And then the next one that you asked was, okay, to make some answers on the topics, on habitat, but I think what he clarified how we, what informs those target of trees, three surveys. We undertaking surveys both in terms of evaluating important habitats and in the ethnic area of biodiversity, a tree. So we call those deep water surveys. And the question that I'm sure that I'm hearing the Honourable Chair wanting us to confirm is whether we do have a list of all the habitats. If you say we have 15, like we have in the terrestrial environment, we can quantify that. So in this case, we just need three. Is three out of 15 habitats or thousands of habitats in the ocean environment in order for them to make the judgment on whether the target is more or less though informed by our resource availability. How much can we go at sea to have those deep sea level studies? And as Dr. Maitis was saying, we have a vessel that can not now be at sea as many times as we would like to because of its age, and I think someone said we are
2 years old,
and we have, it has paid back its money completely, just over its usage. Now we need to reinvest in that vessel, and in the current climate already CFO and Veronica, we could do with concern, we have made a budget submission, but it's not likely that we can get an investment of that magnitude in this current financial environment. So, which is why Dr. Maizis was then talking about maybe we need to match other departments like agriculture, forest and fisheries and mineral resources, because they also have similar needs from a research and scientific research point of view. Maybe we could then go jointly and then have from our internal calculations and then see whether we can get additional resources to fund investments. But at this point in time, it is definitely not likely to happen. Yeah, so that's where we are. We don't have budget. I think that is the short to the long to the long answer.
I've just confessed with the doctor. I don't know why he's stating the question.
Yes.
We should be properly briefed here in the portfolio committee, in the sense that with regard to Antarctica, we are a signatory to that.
Mm.
And it's a continent, as you know, and as we agreed last year.
Mm.
But there are dynamics at a geopolitical level globally around there. So now, because doctor is in that state, we don't want to depend on the newspapers and the media, the news or the social media. We thought you will take us in confidence to say what are the developments that and what are the implications for us as a country. For example, one of the agreement, I mean, in the agreement, the non-military process must find expression at Antarctica because it is used as a research station and so forth. The dynamics there are, what we get in the social media is that some of the superpowers are trying to ban that regulator so that they must make an inroad. So we wanted to get it directly from those who are participating in that regard. If it is not possible for us, doctor, I'm comfortable. If you say maybe at a political level it's not proper for us to do this. But I thought because we're in that space and we're always inquisitive in the space that we operate, we get as much as information as possible. That's one thing. Secondly, is a question that I posed last week. I just want to say, what are the developments around the global ocean governance, which has been a very problematic issue that at present, I'm not sure that there's no global treaty on oceans. So that's the question that I posed last year. I just want to check now. It's almost a year now. It was posed in April. Yes. Are there developments around the global governance of the ocean? With regard to Antarctica, if you don't want to get into the details, I'll restate it. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. I thought I had offered the Chair that when the members came with us from Port Elizabeth to Cape Town, we would address this matter. We would present what we have found out from the economic study and where we would be in terms of the strategy. Honourable Maduro is correct when he says there are developments that need to be discussed. For an example, we have ratified a liability protocol, which implies that any country that lives on South Africa, we are liable for anything that the country may do if he left for South Africa. So we have got such a liability as a country. Secondly, we have observed proliferation of aces by Asian countries. China started only in 1986, but it's already on their fifth base. We still have one. We have seen same South Korea is now having two bases in Antarctica and building a base in the Arctic. Thirdly, Chair, there are countries that are claimants in Antarctica. For an example, Australia claims 67% of that continent. Britain also claims part, Argentina claims part. South Africa is not a claimant, so is Russia and the USA. So we normally club together with the USA and Russia to negate whatever the claimants may say. Fourthly, there is a misunderstanding that says come 2048 mining is allowed in Antarctica. That is in fact incorrect.
Okay.
What the agreement was, we will start talking. No mention of mining between now and 2048, but after that, we can start talking. But I want to emphasize something, Chair, which is that whenever decision is going to be taken in those forums, there has to be consensus. I think I can tell from my last time, there is not going to be any consensus towards mining. So we can tackle those issues if you are going to say in honor of it.
Provided a vessel is safe.
It is. Cannot boast and say the Agalas II is the first vessel, probably the only one, that was built after the new regulations. That says that vessel will go capable whatever happens. It will at home. It's the safe chair.
I've not had a problem.
It remains to be seen whether it will be safe or not. But yes, we'll take your word for now.
Bill, the last question was on ocean governance. And it is correct, Chair, that 60% of the ocean is not regulated. In other words, the space outside the EEZ of different countries. And they are negotiating in New York, I think they started 2 weeks ago, negotiating on an international, on a high water governance regime. So the issue there is whether we should have marine protected areas in area beyond national jurisdiction. But it's going to take a long time, I think.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, what is also key is for all of us to understand whether or not there is lack of participation in this space, whether currently or in the future. Because we may have all this, you know, all this beautiful work done, but without the participation of our black people, it's meaningless. So if you could perhaps, you know, just tell the committee more, especially around Operation Pakista, is there black participation in the space? Or does it still remain? Because as the mayor of the Eastern Cape said last week, that we actually need transformation in this sector and not change.
If we think that is not within the program, we shall need to look at another point. Then we will come from the committee that we can come ready into the formal presentation, almost like the meeting of the committee and so on. Yeah, can you understand? So it's very important. And that is the point of the subject is why we can now have the presentation, not
not now in passing and today.
I think I'm covered today because I was going to say that probably most of the issues that you raised, you had indicated that you need detailed research in order to then appreciate them much more. So the voyage would be the start of that kind of detail. And secondly, then we can see them depending on the committee, they will be able to come back on further presentations in the area of oceans and coastal. The event, we hope it can happen, and we still say the voyage that has done quite a number of voyages, and it needs international standards, so we can really make you understand that it is safe. Because it's better that you also see the experimentation equipment, how these things are done, and the scientists themselves that are involved, and the crew. So it's really encourage you. And last, I think, Chair, I wanted to comment on that earlier, met around the scientists that have visited from the honorable member. The unfortunate part with science, especially marine science, or any science, for you to be a senior scientist, you need a certain number of publications, scientific publications. So it will take time, as much as the junior scientists that have been appointed, they have been the skills transfer and so on, they will still have to earn their respective seniority in the scientific environment. So it will still take them that time in order to make those publications and meet them the requirements of the same environment, or actually the marine scientist environment.
May I sympathize colleagues and all of us that we may need to consider this session. That would not have come there with the time, I'm just saying this one session at about 10 to 1. So that we are able to move across and get to the venue where the line will be with the spaceship, so that we don't keep the entire way in and so on. Otherwise, we ourselves will look unprofessional. Now, it depends on what we do between now and that time, whether the committee shall be concluded or not, and then to you after the lunch. And otherwise, let's see what work we shall have done between now, moving from program 4 to 7, between now and 10 to 1. Am I clear? I'm just saying, let's move what was clear and conscious of what's happening. Over to you, Judy.
Judy will take us to program 4.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I think that means I need to be quick in the presentation. I will then start immediately. Our first performance indicator relates to the climate change electric framework, and our target for 2016-17 is a draft climate change response bill, which will be published for public comment. Moving then straight on to the National Framework for Climate Services, we have done a first draft of the Framework for National Climate Services. This is about aligning the climate change data generated and the climate change data users. And our target is an annual plan for implementation in this year. On provincial and local government climate change adaptation work, we have a number of targets. We're aiming to support 40 municipalities this year in rolling up the LEDS response toolkit, which is a toolkit to assist municipalities in thinking through the relationship that climate change has with their integrated development plan. We have a resilient cities program that needs to have a clear and finalized annual plan. We have three provincial climate change adaptation response strategies, which will be developed at Free State, Northern Cape, and Eastern Cape. We have completed three so far. Next slide. On mitigation, the separate mitigation potential and impact studies, Our first target is phase two of the National Carbon Sink Atlas, which needs to be finalized. We completed phase one last year. And the update of the mitigation potential analysis, which looks at the technical potential of mitigation and technology options. In terms of our desired emission reduction outcome work, here what we're doing is phase two on Madeira. We just completed phase one last year, and the start of phase two on the carbon budget system. Now, the key thing here is that it's a process of refining not only the data that we are receiving or getting a refinement data that we are receiving from industries, but also refining our understanding and our methodologies around setting carbon budgets. We will also see that at the bottom of that list is the refinement of the National Greenhouse Gas Inventory, National Greenhouse Gas Emission Reduction Trajectory. We would also need to have processed 100% of the pollution prevention plan submitted by industry. That item relates to the Green Plan, which really falls under the branch Environmental Advisory Services, and I think I would deal with that one. On the number of sector adaptation plans finalized and implemented, here we are working with five sectors: agriculture, water, health, rural and rural settlements and biodiversity. And this is about implementation. The set plans have been completed, but it's about working systematically with the sector departments to facilitate implementation and understand the higher level impact, the consolidation of the higher level impact and outcome of the plans. On the climate change risk analysis for two provinces, here what we are doing, we are over a period of time working on the risk analysis for the province, followed by the provincial adaptation strategy. So in a previous target you heard about the provincial adaptation strategy, so this is the preceding work, the analysis with the province on what their primary and climate change risk areas are. On air quality, we've got the National Air Quality Indicator, but the air quality monitoring stations, government-owned, increasing from 100 to 115. We've got the percentage of atmospheric emission licenses, the percentage of facilities with atmospheric emission licenses reporting into the National Atmospheric Inventory System. You'll recall that the reporting regulations in terms of Section 12 of the Air Quality Act were gazetted last year, in April last year, and facilities have been reporting. The final point there is around the priority area air quality management plan implemented for the Hassel, the Ball Triangle, and the Waterberg. In terms of monitoring evaluation, the key target here is the second annual climate change monitoring evaluation report. We're about to publish the first annual climate change monitoring evaluation report, which consolidates the work around impact and outcome of emission reduction and adaptation implementation work. We've also got the 2000 to 2012 greenhouse gas emission inventory, which we have a draft document. The final document will be completed this year. Next slide. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I know we've got issues with the financial resources in the department, but how is the department going to ensure that we do enforce compliance when it comes to air pollution by the industries? Because that's where I think we are looking, especially when it comes to the provincial and local CSO government. Thank you.
Let's understand on page 49, what informed the question of strategy in terms of that rolling out of the toolkit. And I don't want to say that in some parts there will be no deadline and so that we just said it should be 40 as opposed to 60 or 80 or 2. But also in quite a number of them, I think from where we're sitting, the problem is the phase of implementation. It's more the development and from the change law to get to where we want to see industry accountable or being punished so that legislation or punitive measures apply. So it's like 5 years or so, you know, in as much as it's understandable the kind of work we are doing to get there. But in the process, it's about health. Our people are dying and so on and so on. And when you go to the program, when you go to all the programs, on page 7, climate change and air quality has got the lowest in terms of the proof, yet we have got challenges in that regard. And I'm not saying it's because the government is not taking the problem seriously, but I take it that it's an area where we are fighting within us. Not just a normal implementation kind of a program where you think that either you are fighting with invasive species, either you are fighting other species. Yes. But then we don't seem to put our resources there, both financial and human. So I don't want to go to that, but I'm saying it's a concern, really. Is that we need to do something because even in terms of our monitoring stations, I see we're changing our interest to 115 to somewhere.
Yes.
We're saying 100 to 115 government owned air quality monitoring stations to be reporting and so on. Surely there are supposed to be more, and we are really taking behind ourselves as government, you know, in terms of reporting, there's no capacity issue. And so let alone the fact that in those stations themselves need to be repaired, we don't always have the skills, and so on and so on. There's a whole lot of challenges. So it's one thing to be putting all of these figures here, and it's another practical project that's going on to change the situation. To make industry feel that we are there to do inspections, we are there to cause them to comply and so on. I was reading the report the other day, like on one new statement, I just forgot the name of this company, which reports that their compliance is about 80%. It's business day. What company was that? I heard that they think their report is 50% or something like that. And the one structure at NGO said that you cannot be compatible with a reporting at 80% when you're supposed to be. Yes, you know. But I'm just saying, even ourselves are not even able to cause them to be reporting and to be facing challenges or punitive measures if they're failing to be reporting. So I'm just saying, we need to do more in that regard other than to be happy that. It would be 115 stations. I don't even know how many, by the way, we're supposed to have. But by 2018, we're saying it would be 125. Obviously, it means there are supposed to be more. So there are those who may not be affected, those who are not able to report around their areas, let alone the other challenging issues of whether we are able to
retail at source where the emissions are from and so on and so on. You know, but that you would respond and share more with us in that regard. Yes, it's upland, yes, yes.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I think let's start with the question of what informed the 40 municipalities. Treasury does a review every 5 years on social, economic, and environmental vulnerability against a set of social, economic, and environmental criteria to assess vulnerability of all municipalities. Well, I think they did on a basis of a selective range. And we used the 2012 report in that regard and listed out the set of municipalities that came up in that report as having particularly environmental and social vulnerability. Because one of the key issues around climate change vulnerability is that if there are economic, social, even environmental vulnerabilities, that makes you even more vulnerable to the impact of climate change. And the most neutral and probably credible way of doing that solution and that rollout was, from our assessment, was on the basis of these 5 year review processes of treasury. So that's the basis on which we're doing it. We're doing 40 municipalities per year rolling out. It's not, as you can imagine, to do 40 municipalities, it's impossible to do a very detailed plan. This is more a process of enabling the municipalities to walk through and work through a clear set of questions and respond to those questions that then links their climate vulnerability to their IDPs, to their integrated development plans, and take that the next step further and say, well, what needs to be done? What is the implementation process? The reason that we've really taken action and taken been proactive around it is, as you've said, Honourable Chair, that municipalities have a number of other priorities, and they're not necessarily able to get to the climate change issues. On the compliance with air pollution and the ambient air quality standards or the emission standards, I think that from a pure compliance perspective, Bishan's team really assists us. In our team, what we need to do is we need to make sure that the legislation is in place. We manage the postponement application process. We put in place whatever regulatory instrument is needed to deal with dust pollution, to deal with the different sources of pollution. We've just taken the air quality strategy in dense low-income human settlements through cabinet. So our role is really to make sure, as you know, to put those instruments in place and check that those instruments are working, and to put the make sure that the priority area implementation plan is being effective together with the stakeholders in a particular priority area. So we would seek the support from the compliance enforcement team. In terms of 115 reporting stations, 115 air quality monitoring stations, Chair, you really have hit the nail on the head. There's difficulty there. 20 of those stations belong to the South African Weather Service, so 20 of those stations are pretty much functioning in terms of the standards that are required to enable that data to be fed into the national atmospheric annual report on air quality. But of the remaining stations which belong to provincial government or to local government, we are experiencing extreme difficulty ensuring that those stations are up and running and meeting the standards that are necessary to for us to be able to use that data. We are working to the extent that we can. We've elevated the matter to the MINMEC. We have a national asset management system that is currently being put in place and will be ready and functional by the end of this year. And that asset management system will link all air quality monitoring stations to a central system, which will enable the team in here to be able to see exactly which system which monitoring station stops working at which time and why. So that will enable us to have much better on the ground ability to monitor where the problems are and to take action. But at the moment we're doing it on the basis of working with that particular institution, trying to provide the support that we are able to provide and elevating the matter to a political level.
Thank you. Sure, just lastly, thanks, honourable member. I think the question of financial resources is we have also short answer. It's a challenge. And I think honourable chair, in your comparison of the staff, or number of posts, climate change, I think I indicated last time that this is a relatively new branch compared to the other branches of the department. And secondly, it's a branch that is very much established to focus on policy, regulatory frameworks, the science. Air quality and particularly air pollution control is a local government function in terms of the constitution. So I have no justification to really, even when the money was difficult, because we should not be funding it from the national institution. Having said that, we within the post that exists, in the enforcement and compliance capacity is under program 2. And therefore there is a cooperation which Judy was explaining between the work of her branch and Ishan's branch. I don't think we are we completely short of that reasonable capacity, but there is also capacity for enforcement in local government. What we do is facilitate, and I think if you recall, honourable members, one of the quarterly reports, we were saying we've met training and also accreditation, what you call that, designation of environmental management inspector of local government. However, the local government does not then give because the mayor, executive mayor and the province are they supposed to then get those people given the responsibility to undertake a function. So we do facilitate. Similarly with the monitoring stations, some of the monitoring stations, even at local government, we assisted with resources to afford it. But the maintenance and the running of those monitoring stations is to be undertaken by the municipalities. So our local government support is informed by some of these steps, but again, it is never going to be 100% sufficient because also we do have our own limited resources in that regard. And most of our science work will rely on research institutions of higher learning, like university, CSIR, in respect of some of the impact work that the community has been raising in this regard. So that is just the response that I can provide in clarifying the state of affairs. It is not really that there is a limit to what we can do to intervene even with the financial and human resources that are taken into account.
Perhaps
the
question
is
just to follow on what you're saying. I think that's understandable from your own space. But I take it that this business is also putting a lot of resources ensuring that we somewhat are not found
in the wrong side of the law or legally outside government, just to make sure that they run away with matter. We don't want to be punished. Now, that on its own, even in terms of legislation, at this level, we must be seen to be aggressive, because big business or industry will want to put this at the level of indoor pollution, to say that you can build your cooking, and so on, all that, using wood, coal, and so on, in-house, and all these diseases that you have got, it's as a result of that, or it's even a heritage fact, that within the family, your grandfather, mother, and so on, had the asthma, and therefore, you know, the woman would take responsibility. All I'm saying is that, as government generally, we need to assist local governments, in terms of our legislation, we must be aggressive, so that if we say, even if you are to be punished, it's 5 million. It will take long to still be monitoring patients and we are not able to arrive at that point. By the time you want to punish them, 5 million will be nothing. You know, it will even be an incentive not to comply, because you get more, pay less. Now, all we need to do, our instruments should be water files should be filled, and we are able as governments to enforce, whether we cause our colleagues at provincial and local government to be able to do so. But if we can cause them to see reason why they should prioritize this, then it means whatever the good legislation we have at the national level will not mean anything. So that's the point I'm trying to be raising. But let's move on. What we will do, we will not take a program 5 and 6, because they are a bit longish. We will take a program 7, which seems to be a bit short. Deal with that so that we are not under pressure. Control on it, break for lunch, and then we will find our way to that. We will come to that point as to what is going to happen and so on and so on. And then let's quickly take this one. Then we will come back. Surely you will not get to 17 hours. I think those who are now afraid that you are likely to get a schedule. Let me assure you that. No, the DJ is fine. I think we can do that. There is no can do that, but I'm just saying, I should remember that after 3-4, you may be hearing something else, let's go, we'll talk to that. Let us receive this and see. Yes. Oh, you mean the program? No, the program, the agenda. This agenda, no. That's almost, I only want to say you were given the relevant one, that's fine. Yes.
What's the
program 7?
Good afternoon, Acting Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, Regent Colleagues. The program is called Chemicals and Waste Management. Our mandate is on chemicals in terms of its impact on environments and on the control of waste, particularly hazardous waste in the country. Our first indicator relating to the number of chemicals and waste management instruments developed and implemented. This year we'll be focusing on the export and import regulations covering the import and export of waste. Our work is with a lot with DTI, and we've taken some of the considerations we discussed in the portfolio committee last year relating to illegal imports and exports of waste materials. Second is the draft hydrofluorocarbon management regulations. It's an ozone depleting substance, and this year we'll be finalizing regulations for the control of FFCs in South Africa. Thirdly, in this category is the chemical management strategy that will be developed. We note that last year we concluded on a ZAR chemicals man of the bowl, and what's printed actually in the APP is a chemical management bowl. And our consultations with industry, especially, has concluded with the fact that they feel that finalizing a chemicals bill this year will be a bit too preemptive in terms of the current impact, economic impact that industry is facing, particularly the chemicals industry. And D2, we've been having a lot of meetings with industry representatives, and they're assisting us with some of the economic impacts that we want to finalize now, together with some issues around gaps and linkages with other intergovernmental structures around chemicals management and other departments. So here we are proposing that this year it will not be a top chemicals management bond. It's going to be an integrated chemicals management strategy that's in the presentation. What's in the printout document is a bond. And we discussed this within the department, and we are proposing that we go forward now with the strategy based on our discussions with the industry, and they feel that there's going to be quite an impact on industry if we proceed with this bill as we say we will. So we're proposing instead it will be a strategy. Moving on, in terms of the number of industry waste management plans, we call them IWMPs. This year we will finalize the electronic waste plan, the lighting plan, the paper and packaging plan, and together with this will be the full operationalizing of the Waste Management Bureau, which will then manage the implementation of these plans once reviewed and developed. So that's another priority for the CHA. It's the full operationalizing of the Bureau, the full implementation of the Bureau, its work that was undertaken in terms of the 2014 Waste Amendment Bill that went through this committee. We will see the Bureau starting its work in fact from this term. Next we move on to waste diverted from landfill sites. Here we have a target for waste hires, which is 60%, and it's an improvement from the previous year, which I think was 12%. And again, we have some challenges there with Rhodesia. We've conducted an audit and it has been finalized, and that we are working very closely with National Treasury in terms of the implementation of the waste tire levy, which the Minister of Finance announced in his budget speech, and which is to be implemented on the 1st of October. Moving on, number of chemicals and waste management instruments developed and implemented. This year we'll focus on the Minamata Convention, which is for the control of and banning and phasing out of mercury, very toxic and poisonous substance, and this study will be finalized this year. Members to note that South Africa signed the convention to phase out mercury in Minamata in 2013, and we seek to ratify the convention within the next year or so, depending on our work within government as well. Moving on, number of waste management facilities audited. We have 20 facilities which we will audit this year, and they mainly comprise hazardous waste management facilities. We have another program dealing with illegal landfill sites, which we've spoken a lot about in this committee previously. Then the other fluorocarbon phase out management plan, and here we have a decreasing trend in tonnages, as you would see a decrease in tonnages, but an increase in our percentages. So from last year, which was a percentage of a 10% reduction, this year we've increased it to a 15% reduction, which will bring us to 4369 tons compared to the baseline of 5140 tons in 2009-10. So 15% represents a total of 771 tons reduction, and this is what will be allowed in terms of the baseline reduction from 2010. Lastly, the number of jobs created within the waste management sector. We are stating that we will to 2,000 as a target. You know, we under promise and over deliver. And on SMMEs, it's 30 SMMEs and cooperatives that we are targeting to establish this year as well. Honourable members, again, some of these things are not in this presentation, but it's in the plan, and it relates to the training of municipal officials. Our role in local government is that we support local government in terms of the waste management service provision, and in that regard, we have a target of 200 municipal officials, including councillors and executive management, that we will be targeting to be trained in the sector this year as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. What on training is covered in program one, so the target is outlined there. If I may just quickly also confirm with all your members that there are quarterly targets, but the aspect where the DGG was talking about not meeting the target and refining that target in respect of the chemicals bill. In light of the fact that one, we have a short parliament sitting this year, we cannot then have the bill that would be processed this year. Two, the chemicals management cut across quite a number of departments. We have health, you have a part of the unit pesticides, transport, GPI, ourselves, and the ministers still have to have those bilaterals before we even get to Parliament. And the socio-economic impact assessment also is a process that is then led by or governed by the Department of Public. The planning, monitoring, and evaluation, DPME, as well as Treasurer. So that's why there is then that change in the subject. Thank you.
Members, I think it is no addition from the department. May we then get members making comments, Honorable Edwards.
Under US planning, let's see, slide number 52, I see, instrumental plan reviews, US plan. I'm wondering, what are we thinking along the lines of as a department? Are we going to start thinking about US recycling? What is the bigger picture? What are we working towards? And then the import and export of waste, just mentioned first, so go ahead and bring that up. As you said, you spoke about a lot, especially last year. What is the current situation? Is it still as bad? Because I remember you said people bring stuff in and then they say, you know, it's for education or schools or whatever, and then they get it's broken, like those kind of things. Is it the same, or has the situation changed? Just a change of concern on that. And then, specifically on waste management, are we going to look, or are we looking at rather, incentives on recycling overall? I know we've done very well on with regard to the recycling plants that we do have in some size. Are we going to have more? Is there any specific way that we are thinking towards? Especially with the empowering of local people in the area. With recycling as well. I read an article a couple of weeks ago that someone said that recycling is kind of a gold mine waiting to happen. So would the department be looking into something, or like consulting with the department that deals with small businesses, etc., to see if that can't maybe, you know, take it forward faster, and that it's not all on the shoulders of the department.
And Adam?
Mm-hmm.
our training was done in letting Mark off the
groceries.
Life should not be a motivation, but it was predominantly after that obsession. On page 7, the main we're talking the management instruments developed and implemented as the indicator. And then the 2016-17 regulations finalized. And 2018-18-19, there's nothing. As if after finalization, the implementing agents, some or else or other entities or institutions. I'm just saying, why is it like that? Are we living it out of just developing the regulations and so on? Well, I did hear you explaining movement from the grid to the strategy, but it's also to that. I'm not so convinced that it's fine, we can touch it for now. I think we'll still get to that. You know, because it says this, there are other people who would be luckily pushing us otherwise, and we seem to be in submitting.
The key issue, Chair, which I think Mark did not present appropriately, is the question, what are we trying to resolve with the deal? So there is regulation of the chemicals by other departments. So to avoid that delay, because the socio-economic impact assessment that CME in the presidency is going to consider, we take all of those things into account. So it's better that we align with those departments first, and before we then go ahead with the actual deal. We have a case that we want to make, but we need to make sure that those departments firstly agree that there is a gap and we confirm what the gaps are, and they think that then ours would be more for framework legislation. And the industry, because again, they raise the issues around over-regulation, they will still make their case direct to the president. So it's better in the process to manage all of that upfront to make sure that we don't have delays. And secondly, for us, it's also a bonus that the parliament has got a shorter program this year. We have other legislation that prioritize the cabinet that should come through parliament. So this is not one of the prioritized countries. So we have failed already upfront in terms of meeting the targets because it will not reach cabinet. So that's why we were asking for
okay, that could be granted, but I'm just saying we need that to be clear, but we don't want to be suspicious of what is going on behind the scenes. But we want to work on what apparently now for us to understand the issues. Just of the last one on the the number of waste management enterprises, the public authorities and SMEs. My research on this issue will be, I see the numbers are right, which is fine. But whether you have a mechanism on the basis of which countrywide you do encourage people to know that they may need to establish themselves. But look, these kind of areas have not been so traditional in certain quarters of the country. Now, people can be left out, not by and so as they don't submit knowledge at all. As government, they may want to reach out and give information. We may not ensure that everybody is formed into a co-op. And I'm just saying that we have generated interest for people to understand that, you know, there is this going on. We may become hard if at all we put an effort in this thing or not, so that we are not left out. That's on the basis that we are not closer to whom and so on. Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Firstly, I think on the bill, we just want to say that it's not that not going to do it, we're just postponing it based on consultations. So we will be doing it, but it's a postponement of probably a year. Chair, in terms of creativity, I think the blank spaces you're seeing there relate to one item, probably, and the way it's published or printed, related to the export and import regulations, which will be completed. The item speak to the implementation of the waste act and regulations, and what you see in various parts of that page is that in terms of implementation of various forms of regulations and instruments, talking to the performance indicator, we will be continuing into the outer years. So you'll see regulations on HFCs, the bill itself, and others that we will be doing over public care. It will happen in terms of that item, which is called Waste Management Instruments Developed and Implemented. It covers regulations, strategies, rules, policies, and all of that. This particular one is the important export regulations, I think, which will be done, finalized, and then implemented. But I take your point, I think, in terms of how this is presented here, we should also show other things that we've been doing in the after years. We do have the also is the project strategy that finalized. Thank you. Just on your points relating to the mechanism for SME needs and costs, and I take your point on inclusivity, awareness, and so forth, and I just wanted to raise one thing here. A few months ago, we went out on what is known as an RFP for Recycling Enterprise Support and Development Program, and which we've been working with the Ministry for Small Business Development. It closed on the 4th of March. We received over 200 applications countrywide, and that is for supporting SME type core projects around recycling, specifically around enterprise development. So that is very exciting, and again, we're reaching out into the deep rural areas where we know this is where our collection for recyclable materials will come from mainly. Addressing Honourable Edwards, the e-waste plan and whatever we're working towards, all of these plans are really in terms of our approach to the pricing of waste. The fact that waste must be priced and we must have an appropriate price in terms of the polluter-based principle. So what we're doing going forward, we are making the polluter-based principle into the formal economy by giving value to waste, so that value to waste will then encourage enterprise development. So we published or finalized a pricing strategy. We're waiting for the publication of that now from the minister, and it provides two mechanisms, which is called an extended producer responsibility mechanism for what is called post-consumer waste, like the approach of how we deal with plastic bags and so forth. So the industry takes care of that in a way. The other way we do it is through a levy, an environmental tax type of thing, which is what we do on tires. Now that's going to be a similar approach for the farmers. The idea here is that through the pricing strategy and the bureau and the plans that will be submitted, we will be able to pass a levy on electronic goods. So for your laptop, your iPad, and even the cell phone, which is very expensive materials in these things that can be recycled. There's platinum, molybdenum, and all kinds of expensive stuff in here. We will be passing a levy at the point of sale of a manufacturer. So the Ericsson, the Hewlett Packard, and Nokia's and all of that will be paying a levy attached to SARS. Collections for the first person that comes to the Bureau, we then incentivize recycling programs and all of that. So at the end of the day, it's a consumer space. And that will be eventually passed through to consumers. So that's the plan for electronic waste. It's also the plan for paper packaging and lighting. Already we have incentives and a tax on incandescent bulbs, which has already been banned. On the ones that contain mercury, they already have a phase out plan for that. So the ones that we really find going forward in the future, the LED lights, it's currently expensive, but we have to tax the polluting ones to incentivize the environment friendly ones. So that's the way we're going to do it. And the same applies for how we're going to deal with paper packaging, all the recyclable waste. The issue for us is, again, the recycling infrastructure. All right, so let me finish. On import-export regulations, again, we're dealing with some of the problems we faced last year. And the issue here is that we do have an act of regulations for second-hand goods, which is controlled by DTI. We also have regulations that require scrap metal by DTI. So we are tightening the noose on illegal trafficking of second-hand goods with services as waste, and we think the export import regulations is going to help us a bit more there. And again, lastly, I think around recycling as a whole, it is a goal. And the question to ask is that does it make business sense to recycle your waste? Yes, it does, for all industries. And it's happening on a big scale. The minister is launching a massive plant in May on plastic bottles and stuff here. And we're putting a lot of pressure on bottlers like Coca-Cola to increase their what they call the recycled content. So on this bottle is made of Coca-Cola. It's a plant. They have an organic content target and it's also a recycled content target. So the biggest plant in Africa has been launched on the 10th of May in Wagon Thermostat, where it's recycling 100% of all the old waste bottles. And all of them go into products like clothing, that you get from this as well, and lots of other stuff. And the same we can apply to all recyclables. And we're going to do it through a push-pull mechanism, control command with incentives. So we have regulations, but we also put incentives with all the industry, but also for the
will be not building 6th floor, 5 and 4. But now we are building smart building resorts. That's where we'll be running short program on the lines. Staff will be represented by the from Parliament by Dr. Watt. The DG will speak, Hashis will speak, the DG from the department will speak, the GM will speak. We're requesting that it should not be long sessions. So it will lead to allowing as well to have these bikes on that and then be able to have lunch, you know, may not be waiting lunch. So if we take this 30 minutes with them, then have the other 30 minutes for interacting with him and meeting. We are all invited. Let's go over there. And the first table there is reserved for members and the minister. So, but that's the straight away. Thank you.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to bring it